gospel.
Thank you for reading that so well for us. We're carrying on looking at the Sermon on the Mount as we go through some parade services. And we come to something interesting as we think about anger, because it's something that we can probably all, like, suspect, connect with quite easily, because we've all been angry at one time or another. I don't know what you were writing down when you wrote down earlier the way that you respond when you feel angry about something. Someone thought that we often, typically, can have two different responses to when we feel angry, that we kind of break into two different groups about how we respond to feeling angry about things. And someone described it as we can have a response like a hedgehog or like a rhino. If a rhino gets angry about something, you know that a rhino is angry, doesn't it? It puts its head down and it charges towards you. You know that this rhino is angry. And sometimes some of us have that kind of response when we're angry. And maybe you were writing that kind of thing down. You're the slam the phone down person, the shout at the team, the storm around, the slam the door. Or you know, when you're angry about something, people know, and maybe they know to get out of the way as well. That's kind of one kind of response to anger. Maybe you have that sort of way of responding. Another way is a little bit different. And maybe even when you were writing it down, you found it hard to say, well, I don't really know what I do when I get angry. Because maybe your response isn't the typical kind of shout and scream and throw things. Maybe it's more the kind of hedgehog response. That actually, when you get angry, it might almost be a bit scary. And you curl up into a ball. You become all prickly with other people. You become grumpy. You stop being nice to others. You maybe don't talk to them. And, you know, you think that other people should work out that you're angry. You won't tell them. You just think they should be able to work it out. Or it's kind of maybe typified by the, well, you should know what you've done wrong kind of statement. Okay? So, and it's a little survey, no judgment. Who thinks that they are typically, we all do a little bit of both, but who thinks typically they're more the kind of rhino response? All right. And who thinks they're more typically the kind of hedgehog? Yeah, okay. All right. So it's sort of maybe about kind of half and half, actually, between rhinos and hedgehogs. And the first place I came across this actually was in, this idea was in doing marriage preparation with people. And one of the things they said was quite funny is that typically in marriage you find one partner is a rhino and the other is a hedgehog, which leads to interesting things. And of course, we might think that one's better than the other, but both have good things and bad things. Actually, we know when that kind of rhino response, we at least know that the person's angry and what they're angry about. But of course, in that, we can do a lot of harm in the things that we say without thinking about it, or in the things that we physically do, if we're throwing or slamming or whatever else might happen. Of course, the hedgehog response doesn't have that kind of, that aggressiveness to it straight away that's going to cause that instant harm, but it can be really hurtful to be that kind of prickly and sometimes really not very nice to people. And sometimes some people draw that out for a very long time. And that can be really hurtful too. And of course, we thought about some of the things that make us angry. I've realised that when I get angry, it's always someone else's fault. it's never mine, of course. Maybe you wrote that down as you were doing it. When I'm angry, it's always someone else's. It's never because I've been selfish and not wanted to just have my own way, or it's never because I've just overreacted to something small that someone else did. It's never those kind of things. It's always someone else's fault, the reason that I become angry. We connect with anger quite easy because we all find ourselves angry from one time to another. And Jesus then talks about anger here and says it's really serious. Says that actually our anger is as bad as murder. That actually when we're talking about anger, it's as bad as murder he's talking about. And that it can have huge consequences. In those few verses at the end, he talks about, you know, if someone's angry with you, try and sort it out. Because, you know, they might be so angry with you, they're going to take you to court, the judge might rule against you, you'll get thrown in prison, and you might be in prison, and you might lose everything that you have. So actually, sort it out sooner rather than later if you know that someone's angry with you, because it can have huge consequences. And Jesus even talks about it in such strong words. And if you call someone a fool, you are in danger of the fire of hell. And we laugh about anger. We take it easily, don't we? And Jesus says this is something serious when we're angry. That actually, when we get angry in the wrong way, when we do these kind of things, when we hurt other people in our anger, actually, that it's serious because it shows that our attitude isn't in line with what God wants for us, that our attitude isn't in line with what God is asking of us. It shows something about us. As we go through the Sermon on the Mount over these parade services, we'll see that what Jesus is asking us to do is really hard. That actually the way that Jesus says that we're to live isn't easy at all. It's really difficult stuff. That trying to sort out our anger when we get angry about things is really tricky. I think maybe we need a course in the church from the sounds of things about aggressive driving or something like that. Road rage from the sounds of things. I was talking to someone just the other day who was a really quiet, tame person who kind of, they were talking about how actually they had that kind of hedgehog response to anger. And then they said, apart from when I get on the road. And Jesus is saying these have real consequences to what it is. I suspect that none of us have ever committed murder, but we've all been angry. We've all done these things. And as Helen's helped point us towards, when we have this anger, the place that we need to come to is the cross of Jesus. That actually what we see through the really high standard that Jesus sets for us on the Sermon on the Mount is that how much we need what he's done on the cross so that we could be forgiven. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, "But God shows his great love for us, that in this way Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That while we were still doing all sorts of things wrong, God sent Jesus to die for us." I want, for a moment, you to imagine that you've got a friend. For some of you, I appreciate this will be hard than others, but imagine you have a friend, just for a moment. And that actually, this friend, you know, wants to do something together, and you just ignore them. You don't do what they ask that you do. And actually, you keep doing stuff that they've asked you not to do. And you don't listen to them, and you do things that hurt them and upset them. They're not going to be your friend for very long, are they? You're going to fall out quite quickly, because you're just going to keep on ignoring them. And it's something like that between us and God, that we keep on doing things that he's asked us not to do. That we keep on not doing good things that he wants us to do, that we just don't listen to him, that we just ignore him. And rightly, God gets angry with all of that. God gets angry with those things that we do wrong. And yet, God decided that he would sort it out. He would sort out the problem of all those things that we've done wrong. And sometimes when we've upset someone, you know, we try and sort it out, don't we? We try and make it up to them. We might buy them flowers or chocolates, or we might write them a letter to kind of apologise and say some nice things, or we might try and do something to help them. We might, you know, clean up the house or do the washing up or something to try and show that we're sorry, or we might give them a hug. It's just a way of expressing that we're really sorry and that we've done wrong. The thing is, and sometimes we can make things up that way. Other times we know it doesn't really cut it, that, you know, a bunch of flowers isn't going to really be enough to apologise for what we've done wrong. And when it comes to God, well, there's nothing that I can give him to make up for the things that I've done wrong. There's nothing that I can give to God to make up for the sin that I do. So God sent Jesus to pay the price instead of me, so that I could be friends with God again, so that we could be friends of God again. So that we could have peace with God. The word that the Bible uses, that we're reconciled with God. And in the way that he's done that, it should be an example to us. When we were looking through the Lord's Prayer, last year we talked about forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. Actually, in the same way that God has forgiven us, we are to forgive other people. And just like it was really costly for God to send Jesus for us, sometimes us forgiving other people costs us. Not money, but actually it's hard for us when we're still angry about something, when we still feel hurt about something, to be willing to let go of that and to forgive them. It can be really costly and really hard to do. My son Luke, who is 2, already demonstrates this really well. When he's done something wrong and he gets told off for something, if he realises, and he's not still laughing at you, which is irritating enough, when he gets to the point that he realises he's done something wrong, typically his response is initially to throw things in anger. He has the rhino response, we've discovered. We see he throws things around when he's angry about it. And then when he realises, he just starts to cry. And then it's amazing how hard it is, even at age 2, to get him to go and say sorry to somebody. You need to go and say sorry to your brother. Go and say sorry. No. Sorry, this is a sister down the front, if those who don't know. Go and say sorry.
Sorry.
Now go and say sorry to your brother. Go and say sorry to Caleb.
Sorry.
No, to Caleb. He goes crying across the room, past Caleb, onto the other side. Sorry. No, to Caleb. Go and say sorry to Caleb. Comes back crying in front of Caleb. Sorry. And then we carry on. Even at two, it seems surprisingly hard to get him to say sorry. And I'm not even sure he that much knows what he's doing. But he does. And part of the reason that he does is because we're a family. And he wants to be sorted out with his brother or his sister or his mum or his dad. And actually, that's what Jesus is talking about here. Three times in this passage, he talks about brothers and sisters. That actually he wants us to treat one another like family. That actually if we know in family, don't we fall out. That sometimes we upset each other or we get angry. And he wants us, and we know what we should be like in family. I know it doesn't always work out, and sometimes things go really wrong in family life. But we know the way it should be in family life, that we sort things out. That we go and we say sorry. Because we know actually things really aren't good in family life when we are still angry with each other. And he wants us to be like that in the church, because things really aren't good for us in church life when we carry on being angry at each other, not saying sorry, and not forgiving one another. And sometimes that can be really tough, because sometimes we do things that do really hurt each other. Sometimes we do really upset each other, and it can be really hard to say sorry. It can be really hard to forgive someone. And one thing that we do sometimes in church, in some churches they do it often before they have communion, is they go and they share something called the peace. And it comes a little bit from these verses where it talks about leaving your gift and going and being reconciled, making peace with your brother and sister before you come to God. And so in some churches, they quite regularly, when they share communion, they offer the peace, which is they go round and they shake each other's hands and they say, they might, if they're feeling particularly holy, say something like, peace be with you. And if the other person's really holy, they say, and also with you. You sound great. And really, it's an opportunity about saying, actually, we want to be at peace. We want to forgive each other. We want to make sure there's nothing that's hurt or getting in the way between each other. We want to be that family where we can offer that to each other. And so what I thought we might do is I thought we might do that now as an opportunity just to do that. And maybe there might be someone who you know that you need to go and just begin making peace with. It might not be the end of the story, but it might just be an offering, like an olive branch of saying, actually, I want there to be peace in our relationship, even if there's not at the moment, and I want us to start towards that. So, we're going to take a chance to do that. If you want to, you can have a hug or whatever, but the nice, for those who've got a Church of England background, you know exactly what you're doing. The simple way is you shake someone's hand and say, peace be with you. And if you want to, the other person can say, and also with you, or just say, peace be with you. It's an easy thing to do. But just saying, we want to live in the right way with each other. Off you go. Peace be with you. I know you love this bit. Peace be with you. Sorry?
Do all this fancy Anglican stuff.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Joyce.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Lorraine.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Terry. I could have done that a lot easier.
Peace be with you, Val.
It can go on for a really long time, so if you want to start making your way back to your seat, that'd be great. Otherwise, we will be here all day. You can do more later if you've got more business to do. So it's a start. And sometimes just that little beginning, just a little start is the road towards peace. For those who are following international things at the moment, just think about North and South Korea, where just little signs, little steps towards peace. And perhaps one of the beginning part of that was being willing to compete together in the Olympics. And now we see little steps towards peace. And sometimes there's just a first step that we need to make that might help us lead towards peace. We've talked a lot about the bad stuff of anger. We've talked a lot. Is it you? Don't make me mad. throws the thing across the room. No, I'm a hedgehog, it's all right. I keep it in. You just don't know it. We talked a bit about the bad stuff of anger, but of course, anger can also be used for good. If you think about Jesus clearing the temple, I can only imagine that Jesus was pretty angry when he walked into the temple and started turning over tables and being really angry with what was going on there. In the Psalms, it talks about, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say anger is a sin. It says that when we get angry, we need to make sure that we don't do wrong. That actually, we can use our anger for good things. Actually, there are situations that it's right for us to feel angry about. And actually, maybe some of those things you've read down earlier. Sometimes maybe where there's injustice, where people aren't being treated fairly. And actually, maybe it's right for us to be angry about those things. You know, maybe it's right for Helen to feel angry about her team, people looking at her team and thinking they've done it wrong when they haven't. The question is, what do we do with that anger? Well, maybe there's things that are right for us to feel angry about. Do we turn it to good use to maybe do things that are going to help those who are facing injustice and facing things that are going wrong? Or do we turn it to a negative and a bad use? What do we do with that anger? Sometimes even when maybe we're angry with ourselves about things that we haven't done or that we've done wrong, what do we do with that anger? Do we use it to help us actually change things? Or do we make it allow us to feel that we can never do anything good, we can never do anything right, and we're a terrible person? What do we do with that anger? Because we can put anger to good use. Sometimes it's about standing up for others who aren't being treated right. Maybe they're being bullied at school or in the workplace. Maybe it's where there's injustice and people suffering around the world. Maybe we can do things to help others where we're angry about the situations they're in. Sometimes anger is about realising that actually the way you're being treated isn't right. And we can use our anger in a right way to help us stand up and have the courage to stand up and say that something isn't the way it should be. So as we finish, a few things just to think about what we do with anger. Do you need to control your anger? Do you need to think about actually what happens when it is that you get angry? Whether you're a rhino or a hedgehog, do you need to think about actually what it is and how you respond when you feel anger? Is there someone that you need to forgive and you need to let go of anger, however costly that might be? Is there someone you need to say sorry to and begin making peace with them? Or do you need to use your anger for good and to do something about those things that you rightly feel angry about? And Helen's going to help us just as we respond and think about how we put these things into practice.